Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. We are so happy to have the Abaricos back here. Praise the Lord. That was a wonderful miracle. That was a wonderful miracle that brought our brethren back to life. And they are here live with us. Father, we are grateful in Jesus' name. I believe also our brother Jesse Tukuda will soon be with us. Amen. Amen. Yes, I had a dream yesterday in the afternoon. And I just found myself, my wife and myself were there visiting. And in our very presence, they were just removing this and that and that and said, because he had started to speak. He was speaking his own language to the wife. I was communicating well. I said, there's no problem. And so we'll just be escorted to discharge. Praise the Lord. I believe God will also do that. The Lord is a faithful God. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's good to celebrate one another. Like we celebrated our wives, our mothers last time. So it's our turn today to receive honor and glory from our children. Amen. Yes, my children called me and I'm so excited that I'm a father to children. Amen. Today we want to talk about fathers as role models. Dedicated to all fathers, not only in this place, but universally. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We magnify your name. You are our Heavenly Father. Father, O Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and privilege to celebrate fatherhood. We are asking, O God, as I speak your counsel, many, O Lord, be motivated and encouraged to be real fathers as they ought to be in the name of Jesus. Those, O Lord, who have been doing the job of real fathers, encourage them yourself, O God. Those who have failed, Lord, I'm asking through this medium that you encourage them and instruct them in the name of Jesus. Even those who feel they are hopelessly, that they are not supposed to be fathers. But Lord Jesus, they got a second chance. Lord, even such people, no matter the situation, restore them and give them opportunity again to act as real fathers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen. When I first came to this country some few years ago, one of the things I appreciated most among my brethren was the very fact that their children were doing good. They had not gone astray according to the tradition and dictates of the society they have found themselves in. So I'm personally grateful to God for what God has used you to do to bring up godly seed in a godless generation and society. Praise the Lord. Yes, keep on doing the good job. And there's due reward awaiting you in Jesus' name. Sister, please don't feel that I'm not talking about you today. Last year, we talked about you. Yes, I talked about you last year. And this time around, I want to commend fathers. They are just awesome. Do you know one thing about fathers? Let me just tell you. Because I know sometimes we commonize our fathers, our husbands. We commonize them. But do you know that God takes them in high esteem? Very high esteem. So that in the scriptures, don't want to go into that, that if a wife makes a covenant to do anything whatsoever, and the husband gets to know and says, "I'm not in support of this," that is the end. That no matter how far the lady or the wife had gone, that is the end of it all. And you are a child living under your parents, and you make a vow, no matter the nature of the vow, and your father gets to know that vow and does not approve of it, it cannot stand. Don't you see something about men and fathers? That God respects them so much? Yes, but sometimes we undermine them. But God loves them. And when Adam and Eve sinned, whom did God hold accountable? Eve? Was it Eve? Adam. He did not call Eve to give account, but Adam. Again, that tells you that man is so important. What is man that that's so mindful of him? The scripture says in the book of Psalms, you know, made him a little lower than the angels. Praise God. Even though the angels are higher than us, a time will come will be higher than them. Amen? We will judge angels. When man fell, God made provision for redemption. When angels fell, did God make provision for redemption? No. Satan, Lucifer fell. God did not make any provision for a second chance. But when man fell, God said, no, I made man in my own image and likeness. And he made provision. And that, of course, is why Jesus came. And he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. Amen. All godly fathers are to pattern their lives according to our Heavenly Father. We all have our Heavenly Father. And we became children of God by adoption. We were not born children of God. Nobody's born a child of God. But the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Jesus, he gave them power, he gave them right, gave them the privilege to become sons of God. By adoption, we have been adopted. Amen. And that is why God is our Heavenly Father. In all religions of the world, and there are thousands of them, there is no one of these religions that they can so say that the God they serve is their Father. No. We have personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So today we're talking about fathers as role models. We are to reflect the nature of God to our families. We are the shepherds of our family, just as the Lord himself is our shepherd. Fathers are also to learn from successful fathers in the Bible, like Abraham and Joshua. I singled out these two personalities, and this is what the Bible has to say concerning Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God boasted about Abraham. I know him. I trust him. Can God say that of you, brother? I am confident. I know him. I know him. No, no. I have no problem in that area. As a God discipline, no, no. He will just do that. He will bring up godly seed. He will nurture his children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. May God say that of us individually in Jesus' name. Joshua is also in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15b. Joshua was exhorting the Israelites that they should not go after idol worship, but that they should remain loyal to the true God. As for himself, he made up his mind. And this is what he said.
Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, will we serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a determination. That's a decision. And every one of us, even if we have been failing as fathers, make up your mind like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will not deviate. Biblical foundations for godly fathers. Proverbs 17 verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Praise God. Children, who are your glory? Your fathers. That's what the Bible says. And who are the glory of old men? Grandchildren. Praise God. That is why grandchildren are so loving to grandparents. If you don't know the reason why, Bible says it there. Children's children are the crown of old men. Their crown. And the glory of children is their father. Hold on to your father. Cherish your father, because that's your glory. Amen. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's so very important. It looks straightforward, and it's actually straightforward. Just train up your little ones from babyhood, from toddler age, even when they are in the womb, right from that stage. If the baby is kicking on duly, I think that's the time the mother will start to say, ah, behave, 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 arrange yourself. Don't you know you are wounding me? Yes, discipline and training and upbringing, even prayers for the babies, start right there. Catch them young. An ideal home should have a God-fearing father, mother, and children. It's one of the father's great responsibilities to maintain a home where there is love, where there is unity, where there is happiness, and never give room to the devil for divorce, for God heals it. Because in this society we are in, that is what is in vogue. Husband and wife will just wake up one day and find certain things they don't like about their spouse. And they magnify it. As you magnify, you know, just magnify it. And because it's a big deal, in no time, they talk about divorce. God hates divorce. Never you dream, never you think about that. Keep on fearing the Lord. Keep on loving the Lord. If you love your wife, there will be no need for your wife to ever seek divorce. Love your wives indeed as God has said we should. Amen. Praise God. And if it's from the other side, you know, the sisters also have a responsibility to submit, no matter how great God has made them to be. Among politicians, you have ordinary people like me and you who are married and whose wives become senators. Their wives become commissioners, governors. Does it mean they are going to now divorce and say, oh, because I'm greater than my husband? No. Love of God will bind them together. That's the kind of thing we are talking about. So let not pride, let not affluence distort this love of God that is within families. Amen. Some key roles, vital roles of fathers include providing leadership in the home. They are the shepherds. They are the first pastors their children will ever see. The first counselors. They provide guidance for the family. They provide physical and material needs for the family. And they protect the family as shepherds. They wouldn't want the enemy to come and devour their family. They teach the family. talk about some vital roles of godly husbands. They provide training and discipline for the children, because it's so very important. And they provide spiritual oversight and social and psychological guidance as well. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hated his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Yes, that's what the Bible says. We are not going to leave our children just to their own free will, because that's what society teaches them. Do what your mind tells you to do. Just what you feel like doing. Let nobody, let no parent. That's what they are teaching them. But that's contrary to the word of God. That's why you need to teach them the precepts of the scriptures, so that they know God's mind. At least this is an alternative viewpoint from what they have been taught in the school. And it's very basic. Emphasize it to them. That's the way. Martin Luther said this: "Keep an apple beside the rod to give to the child when he does well." In other words, the Bible says he that spares the rod spares the child. But Martin Luther is saying here, keep an apple beside the rod so that when the child does well, you reward the child. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's something similar in management science. We call it the carrot and stick principle of motivation. Carrot, stick. Stick is for correction. Correct staff. But also make sure there is a carrot somewhere to reward your staff when they do good. The same line Martin Luther is talking about children upbringing. Keep an apple beside the rod to give to the child when he does well. Amen. The Bible gives caution against overcorrection. Ephesians 6, verse 4. "Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." When you start early, you don't have room to use the rod. It will not be necessary to use the rod physically. I never used rod on my first daughter, who is a mother of three children right now. Because it's like a miraculous child. Throughout all her upbringing, she never had cause for me to even think or dream of using a rod. But there's one other I use rod on her at sometimes. Yeah, but not my first daughter. And she provided a model for others. Praise the Lord. Yes, when you instruct them well and they take heed to the word of God, there'll be no use for the rod so much. But encourage them in the way of the Lord and in the precept of the Lord. Amen. Due to technological developments and the unfortunate lack of fear of God in this generation and in the next, there is a great need for God-fearing crop of fathers. God needs godly fathers at this time, because there is a great need, a great challenge before the family unit, and our children, the way they are being raised up through technology and other technological advancements, is amazing. And if care is not taken, you just go astray. Our children are more technologically advanced than us. That is the truth. Our children face increased cultism, gangsterism, lesbianism, homosexualism, etc., etc. They face more social unrest than we have ever faced. And they are faced with transgenderism and transhumanism and other social evils and uncertainties. This is the challenge before our children, because oftentimes when we are praying for our children, parents often realize it, that look, they are afraid of this, our children that are being raised up in this generation. Don't need to be afraid. Do the needful. instruct them in the way of the Lord, be prayerful, and God will take control. Amen. The reason I never smoked for once in my life was because of what my mother told me. While I was just a little boy of about 3 years, no, she told me that, look, as I play with other children, please don't ever put that thing in your mouth. Because that time they were improvising with just paper. No, little children don't have the money to buy the real cigarette and all that. Yeah. Folded paper and all that. So each time I was tempted, or they tempted me to do likewise, my mother told me. No, I will not tell them, but deep down in my heart, my mother told me this thing is bad. I didn't know science then. I was just a little child. But my mother told me. You can see how that went a long way. Maybe I would have gone other ways, but my mother told me, and that fear made me never to go that way. I'm eternally grateful. And you fathers, remember you are the head of the families, and whatever you allow in your family is allowed. Whatever you disallow in your families, they are disallowed. In my family, as we're bringing up our children, there's one of the things we said, our families, no cursing. No cursing in this family. I know in the school, they curse. In the society, community, they curse. But not in this house. And it was so throughout my children upbringing. Cursing, to curse, utter a curse, is strange. Praise the Lord. And many other things. I'm only just giving you an example. So just tell them what is right and proper in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And the Lord will take over from there. Amen. Parents at this time particularly are faced with the challenge to devote more time to their children. Unfortunately, the kind of society we are in is so that takes so much of parents' time, especially the fathers. But the challenge I'm bringing before you, fathers, is that you need to devote much more time than you have ever done before because of the challenges of our time. Time is very, very important. The time you spend with the children. You are the one who will teach them to unlearn certain things they have been taught in schools. And of course, certain things you need them to learn. There are some things they need to unlearn. You know that very well. For example, we talk about transgenderism. You explain to them from biblical principle what God says about that issue. There's nothing like that. God created man, male and female. You have to tell them about transhumanism, that God will not like the idea of half man, half machine. You know, because God wants man to worship him. He created us for his own pleasure. I can quote Revelation 4, verse 11 for them. God created us for his own pleasure, not to give glory to anything else. So they have to unlearn some of these things. Homosexual marriages. Tell them that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And that God commanded them to procreate and raise up godly seed. But with homosexual marriage, is there anything like procreation? That's coming to a dead end. Lesbianism, that's coming to a dead end. So it goes contrary to the word of God. Teach them all that. They have to unlearn those things. Theory of evolution. It's a theory. It's not practical. And it's not true. Tell them it is wrong that God created man in his own image and likeness. So these are some things they need to unlearn. And you need to teach them some positive values as well. The idea of follow your heart, tell them say wrong is wrong in the sight of God. Why? Let me show you the scriptures. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, But the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. You find similar thing in Proverbs 16, verse 25. So, you may think, oh, this is right. But if you are not careful, you just go the wrong way, the way of death. So the word of God is our guiding principle. Teach them to love the word of God and read the word of God. Despite the modern challenges of our time, fathers should teach their children some of these things. One, faithfulness. How to be faithful. If you are given some money to manage, whether as a prefect, manage it well. Don't steal. We are the one to tell them this. Don't assume teachers will teach or in the Sunday school. It's our primary responsibility as parents and as fathers to impute these moral values in them. Integrity. That they should not have double standard. What they are in the presence of God in the church is what they should be outside. And of course, teach them holiness. That God requires holy living. Without holiness, no man can see God. No matter the miracles, no matter the multitude of membership. Uprightness. We are the righteousness of God. Tell them to live right, to do things right, so that we'll be able representative of God who is holy. Our God is holy. Commitment to God. Diligence, prayerfulness, accountability. They should be accountable. They should have compassion on fellow human beings whom the society has brought low. Fear of God, kindness, obedience to God, transparency. Teach them boundaries. There are boundaries. Don't just let them act as they like because of our individual rights. Tell them there should be boundaries between boys and girls. There are certain parts of the body they shouldn't touch. People shouldn't touch. Teachers shouldn't touch. No other person should touch. Friends shouldn't touch because they are called private parts. Teach them as just the truth. Just teach them. If you don't tell them, their friends will tell them what to do, and that's likely to be wrong. Teach them how to respect elders. As fathers, we are the one principally to teach our young boys, for example, when they are growing up, teach them to respect law and order, to obey law and order, especially traffic rules, for example. If they get caught up and a cop stops them, what they should do? Who is to teach them? You are the principal person to tell them. That's not the time to look into the pinhole or whatever and begin to look for this and that. They will suspect and the cop can shoot that time, thinking that you're going to bring out a gun. Teach them what to do in such situation. We have such responsibility, so that's why you need more time for them. Godliness and the need to stand out for God in times like this, according to Philippians 2, verse 15. The Bible says, even though the society be corrupt and evil, say that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Tell them they are light. Tell them they are salt. And the importance of salt to sweeten and to preserve morals. Fathers, with the fear of God, we have to think of godly legacy as equally important as academic excellence and inheritance. Real estate, leaving it as legacy for your children, very good, good, good. Academic excellence, yes, train them to the highest point, very good. But equally very good and perhaps more important is godly legacy. wherein you are able to lead your child to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's important. Assets, investments, and business worth millions of dollars may be wasted away by the children you live it for. Wasted away. But the legacy of faith in Christ will last for eternity. Fathers, please see to it that you bequeath your children the best legacy of all, personal relationship with Christ. Amen. Know that, Father, you are the first superhero that any child meets in life. First superhero. You are a role model to them. We're going to details later about boys and girls in relation to their parental upbringing. Importance of father figure in the society. Anyone can father a child, but godly fathers we are talking about plays a vital role in the upbringing of the child throughout life. Father's role helps shape a child's life into what they become. Children look up to their fathers to lay down rules and enforce them. In your family, I suppose there are rules and regulations for the children. For example, house chores. You don't just leave it to them. Hey, you children, you sweep the place, clean up the place, do dishes, do that, wash the car. There have to be specifics. They have to have some kind of roster. Teach them as discipline from childhood. Studies have shown that when fathers are affectionate and supportive, it greatly affects a child's cognitive and social development in life. It also instills an overall sense of well-being and self-confidence. The way a father treats his child will influence what he or she looks for in other people. Young girls, for example, depend on their fathers for security and emotional support. A father shows his daughter what a good relationship with a man looks like. While you are bringing them up, your baby girl, they are looking onto their father, say, look, when eventually I get matured and I want to marry somebody like my father who is good, who is behaving well and who treats us well. But if it's the other way, it can discourage them right from that time not to even think of getting married. If a father is strong and valiant, she will relate closely to men of the same character, even when she grows up and is now getting ready for marriage. As for boys who seek approval from their fathers from very early age. We all grow up by imitating the behavior of those around us. If a father is caring and treats people with respect, the young boy will grow up much the same. But I say father like son. When fathers are absent, young boys look to other male figures to set rules for how to behave and survive in this world. Children with involved fathers have a 33% higher chance of being economically successful in their adult life. This is empirical. I'll give you the source. 77% of high school dropouts are fatherless. That speaks volumes. 77% of high school dropouts are fatherless. Truth have been so. Fatherless children have more difficulties with their education. This is in part of your character, your own behavior on your own children and the next generation. Source, importance of fathers, statistics, market report. Social scientists examined 2,970 U.S. families who participated in the Fragile Families and Child Abuse Well-Being Study. They found that the fathers who were involved in their child's life at early age, one had kids who reported a better father-child relationship at age 9. Also, fathers in the study who reported more involvement from their dads while growing up had better relationship with their dads and were more involved with their kids at age 1, suggesting patterns of father's involvement and father-child relationship are passed down across generations. Source: Positive Parenting, Newsfeed, news.org. Some general statistics on fatherhood tell you are so very important. Don't be an absentee father. Children who feel closeness to their father are twice as likely to enter college or find stable employment after high school. 70% are less likely to have a teenage birth. 75% of children, especially the females, are less likely to have a teenage birth when a father is present. 80% less likely to spend time in jail, and half as likely to experience multiple depression. Children with actively involved fathers, 45% more likely to earn A's in their school grades, and 33% less likely to repeat a grade than those without engaged dads. Fathers, can you see how important you are? Statistics are showing that you are so very important. Your very presence alone in the house means so much. 85% of youths in prison have an absentee father. Absent father. Again, 85% of youths in prison have an absentee father. Drug and alcohol abuse. Fatherless children are more likely to smoke, drink alcohol, and abuse drugs in children and adulthood. So with all this, you know very well that your role as father is very, very important. We are not to take things for granted at all. It's an onerous responsibility. As young fathers in particular raise up young children, this message is especially for you, because you are the one having these young ones who are facing technological problems, technological challenges, which we addressed earlier. There are some things you need to teach your children to unlearn, and certain things you need to teach them to imbibe. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." There are some people, unfortunately, who are listening to this say, "Oh, I wish I have father. I wish I have a father. Oh, see how important fathers are. As for me, I don't have a father." The Bible comforts you there. Psalm 27, verse 10. "When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." When you find that for no reason of yours, you are fatherless. You don't have a father to refer to who will teach you all these things. God himself is the father of all fathers. Amen. Look unto him. Hold on to this scripture. Psalm 27, verse 10. We want to pray now. We're going to pray for our fathers who have been doing this great job very well. Let us pray for them. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our fathers present and those online who are listening to this, who have been doing excellent job in raising up godly seed. They have not been negligent. Heavenly Father, help them to continue to do this in Jesus' name. They will not fail. Hurt will not fail them in the name of Jesus. There are those others say, oh, have you listened to this message? I'm failing. I'm really not what I'm supposed to be. I'm a father, but I don't really act as a godly father to my children. Don't lose hope. God reveals to redeem. God is not interested in the death of any sinner. God wants you to repent and retrace your steps to where you have fallen. May the Lord help such parents, such fathers in the name of Jesus. You teach children, my children, don't smoke, don't drink, don't watch pornography. But you do the same. What kind of a father are you? If there is any such person, you find that, oh, morally you are to teach your children and you feel actually you are doing that. But you yourself, you are not what you are teaching. You are not living by what you teach. May the Lord help such fathers in the name of Jesus. They will repent and ask for mercy in the name of Jesus. They will not mislead their children. They will guide them rightly. And God will have confidence in them that, oh, I know my son, like Abraham, who will teach up his children in godly ways. There are some fathers, this prayer is for you. You have raised up children, but not in godly way because you never knew God on time. You got to know God later in life. If you had known God earlier in life, things would have been different, you realize. But there is hope for the hopeless. Even right now, there's still hope for those children who apparently are going astray. Some will not call you. Some have cut off from the family entirely because of distrust, because of quarrel, because of unforgiveness, because of hatred, because of bitterness, etc., etc. This scripture is for you. Isaiah 49, verse 25. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with them, and I will save thy children. Now that you have known God, even though you didn't know God enough, God is giving you this promise. He will save your children. Speak positively unto your children. Pray for them and believe that they will come back like the prodigal child. This is the word of God unto you. What about those you are listening to? I'm talking about fatherhood. Fatherhood. Initially, I actually started about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. How that we have been adopted. We adopted children that were not children of God initially. But when we gave our life to Christ, we became children of God. You are listening to me and you are not yet born again. You are listening to me and you don't have personal relationship with Jesus. If you don't have personal relation with Jesus, how can you impart these virtues? You give what you have. You can't give what you don't have. So you need to know God. Both father, both young and old. So let us pray for those who want to give their life to Christ. Just bow down your head. Acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of Savior. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Just call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. I've fallen away from grace. Have mercy on me. Forgive my sin. Make me a child of God. I take you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried for me. And after 3 days, you rose again for me. And you are coming back again. Forgive my sins and make me a child of God from today. I will serve you with all of my heart. in Jesus' name. May the Lord answer that prayer for those who pray that prayer silently, wherever you may have been, in Jesus' name. I'm also going to pray for those who are sick. Those who are sick in need of the healer. Jesus Christ is our healer. We know doctors treat, but they don't heal. They treat. God heals. So let us pray. First and foremost for our brother James. It is well with James Etukudo in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you have rescued him from the hand of the enemy, O Lord. You that did it for the Abaricos, do it for him also. And let him come back rejoicing in the name of Jesus. He is delivered. He is restored. Every tissue, every organ, every cell, every system in the body begin to function normally and properly in the name of Jesus. As a congregation, we say it is well that James Etukudo in the name of Jesus. And any other person who is sick, just lift up your hand. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you will say, by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. 2,000 years ago, it's not that we'll be healed. We're healed. It's for us to claim what belongs to us. I claim this promise of healing for whosoever is distressed in his or her body in the name of Jesus. Whatever the nature of the sickness, I command that sickness to bow and to get out in Jesus' name. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Believe, just like that woman who tore the hem of Jesus' garment. She had faith, made up her mind, today I'm going to be healed. And this time I'm going to do it. I'm going to defy the crowd. They are going to say, get out, get out, get out. I'm going to defy the crowd. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to receive my healing. Faith. Receive your healing spiritually, financially, materially, socially, psychologically, in the name of Jesus. Total healing and deliverance is from the Lord. He's our healer, Jehovah Rapha. It is well with you all in Jesus' name. May the Lord God bless you. And once more, happy Father's Day to all our brothers and daddies here present and those online in Jesus' name.
Grant you all your heart desires.